1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes this morning that we may behold wonderful things from your word. We pray that you will speak to us and teach us. We pray that you would be pleased to give us grace to behold the wonderful love of Christ revealed to us in history long ago and revealed to us today in the gospel that we read in the scriptures and that we see proclaimed to us at the Lord's table. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. It has been my custom over the years on communion days to try to focus attention not on long passages of Scripture, but usually on shorter passages that maybe we can meditate on and remember as we commune at the table in a few minutes. And that's what I want to do today. We're not going to look at the whole passage that we just read. In fact, we're going to focus on just one phrase that's found in one verse. And that verse is verse 15. And in the middle of that verse, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is kind of a distillation of the gospel for Paul. The whole paragraph is a kind of brief testimony in which Paul talks about how he had been an unbeliever. He had once thought himself to be faithful to God by persecuting the church and by seeking to destroy this new movement instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. But God showed mercy to Paul and called him out of darkness and into the wonderful light of the gospel. And not only was Paul made a Christian by God's grace, but he was called to be an apostle of Christ to the Gentiles. And as Paul talks about his own conversion story, he makes this one little sentence that stands out. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it's as if Paul is taking all of his theology that we find written in the New Testament books, and he's kind of compressing it down and squeezing out all the extra and distilling all the extraneous elements and bringing it down to just one short, simple, pithy statement. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the ministry of the gospel. That's what saved Paul. And that's the message that he was using to preach to others that they might be saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And what an appropriate verse for us to think about as we come to the Lord's Supper today. Because it contains for us so many of the wonderful elements of what we need when we partake of the bread and drink of the cup. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." But that implies that we know who me is, and it implies that we know what we are to remember about the me in the verse. And it also says something about what we are to do when we remember Jesus. And all of that is included in these simple words: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Draw your attention to three things very quickly about these words, and then we'll go to the communion table. But the first one is, Paul reminds us with whom we have come to commune. He is called in verse 15, Christ Jesus. And that's not a first name and a last name, or even a first name and a middle name down here in the South. You know, everybody's a John Thomas or a Beth Ann or something. Everybody's got a first name and a middle name. This isn't Jesus' double name. The name Jesus is the proper name that was given to him by Mary and Joseph at his birth. But as you recall, it's also the name that was given to them by the angel of the Lord. You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. It's actually a New Testament form of the Old Testament named Joshua. And Jesus is the new Joshua. He is the one who leads us into the promised land. He's the great conqueror of sin and death and evil. And by the very name given to him from heaven, Mary and Joseph and others were to recognize that this one is to be our great leader. He's to be the great conqueror in the name of the Lord. He's the one who's going to guide us into the ways of salvation. But the name Christ is not a proper name at all. It's a title. And it's the New Testament version of the Hebrew word Messiah. It means the anointed one. It's the one whom God has chosen and set apart to be the deliverer. Ever since Genesis 3:15, you might recall that God had promised a savior for sinners. And ever through the days and pages of the Old Testament, God keeps reminding his people that they are to live by faith in the great Christ or Messiah who would come. This Messiah would be a prophet, a priest, and a king. He would come in the name of the Lord. He would actually be the servant of the Lord, not only in the sense that Joshua was, but in the sense that he himself was the angel of the Lord. He was the divine one. He was going to be God as well as human. He was going to be the great mediator between God and men because he had both a divine nature and a human nature. That's one reason we confessed the Nicene Creed a little earlier in the service today, to remind us that there's this great historic Christian understanding that Jesus came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, and he suffered and buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. All that's part of the gospel. But who is this Jesus? He is the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light. We might say God from God or light from light, very God from very God. In other words, his essence was divine. He was the second person of the Trinity. He was begotten, not made. He was eternal. He was the eternal Son of the Father. He was of one substance with the Father. And he is the one by whom all things were made. This Christ Jesus is not only the one who walks in the flesh in the Gospels of the New Testament, but he is the eternal God who existed before the world was made. He is the God who appeared in the Old Testament. He, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, has always been God, is God, will continue to be God forever. This is the Christ. This is the title that Paul gives him. And he is the one with whom we come to have fellowship in the Lord's Supper. It's not just the Jesus who bore the marks of beatings and had a spear thrust in his side and had nails driven into his hands because he was human. But he was also the Jesus who was rejected by the world, even though he was the creator of the world, and who in every perfect and holy and good sense was purely and truly and thoroughly and inseparably and eternally God. This Jesus came and he suffered in our place. He bore the wrath of God for our sins. He endured all the sufferings that he did not deserve, but which he gladly took upon himself, that he might represent us in our death and in sanctifying our lives and future lives. Christ Jesus. Two words, two names, but what glorious and important names they are. They are the names that tell us everything about what the Bible is about. That the God who made us and against whom we sinned and whom we rejected came to us. That's the act that we remember in communion. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The whole emphasis in the verse is on the fact that it's not so much that we came to Jesus, but Jesus came to us. It's this voluntary condescension that the Westminster Confession refers to, that Jesus, out of an act of love and willingness and under no obligation whatsoever, came to save us. He didn't come in response to our first coming to him and asking for his help. We never did that. I saw the other day where someone says that we shouldn't refer to people who are inquiring about the Christian faith as people who are seeking after God, because, as we all know, God is not lost. The gospel is that God came to us in Christ seeking us. We were the lost ones. Christ Jesus came into the world. He came into the darkness of the world to be with us, to be one with us, that he might redeem us by his blood. And when we come to the Lord's table, what do? We come and we remember him. And we remember him as we break bread and as we drink the cup and remember his body broken for us on the cross at Calvary. And as we come drinking the cup, remembering the blood which he spilt as payment for our sins. And we are overwhelmed because we remember that we deserved none of this. We weren't even looking for it. Jesus came, not just in the historical sense of coming 2,000 years before we were even born, but he came to us even when we were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And he made us alive together by his Spirit. He gave us the faith which saves us. He keeps us in the faith by his grace. He is the good shepherd who is leading us and taking us along the path that will eventually bring us to eternal life and eternal glory. And all of this is the Savior God, Christ Jesus, who came into the world. It's a remarkable statement if you think about it. Have you ever been into a city and you got lost and turned off the interstate maybe to find gas at a service station, and you got caught in a one-way street? A few minutes after you've gotten off the interstate, you wonder, how in the world did I ever get in this neighborhood? Doesn't this look awfully dangerous? How am I going to get out? Especially if it's dark in the middle of the night and everything's closed. And you see all kinds of people sitting on the streets and wandering the alleys, and your blood pressure rises and a hair stands up on the back of your necks, and you wonder, how in the world did I ever accidentally get into a place like this? And then the Bible reminds you that the eternal, perfect Son of God became flesh and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, and he came into the world. Not a bad neighborhood, but the world. And you might remember how the Apostle John, at the beginning of his gospel, tells us that the world was the world of darkness. It was the world that rejected the God. It was the world that loved darkness rather than light, because its deeds were evil. Jesus came into the very world that had opposed him and rebelled against him, that did not welcome him, even his own did not receive him, John goes on to tell us. But that well known to Jesus before his entrance did not deter him from his gospel mission. He came into the world. And what did he come into the world to do? He came into the world to save sinners. Those last two words are both important. Let's begin with the last one first. He came into the world to save sinners. Remember how Jesus tells us in the Gospels that he did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's the sick who need a physician. It's the spiritually sick who need a Savior. Jesus came not to reward those who had done well, but to save those who couldn't do well. He came to forgive the sins of those who had no other way of atoning for their mistakes and misdeeds. He came to save not those who were his friends, but to make friends of those who were his enemies. He came to save not those who were always trying to do the right things, but those who had willfully chosen not to do the right things. He came to save idolaters. He came to save selfish people. He came to save people who were lazy. And he came to save people who were slaves to their own passions. He came to save sinners. But not only did he come to save sinners, he came to save the sinners, to raise them up from death, to give them life. He bestowed upon them not only the righteousness that he had earned by his perfect life and the blood by which he would atone for their sins, but he gave them his spirit so that they could be born from above. He gave them the faith by which they are saved, according to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. He gave them the daily grace and mercy that keeps them unto salvation. One of the wonderful comforts of the gospel is that Jesus is very plain. Everyone who comes to him will be saved. No one who comes to him will be driven away, he tells us in John chapter 6. But also the wonderful comfort of knowing that everyone who comes to Jesus will be kept in Jesus. And they will be kept by Jesus. And they will be kept for Jesus. And the good work that God begins in us, he brings to full completion, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1. And those who come to Jesus will never, ever be lost. He said when Palmer so clearly wrote years ago, if Jesus had meant anything less than eternal life, he would have used a different word than eternal. But when Jesus says that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, he is clear and faithful. He gives nothing less than eternal life to all of his disciples. And so we come to the table today to remember not only the one with whom we commune, Christ Jesus, and not only the acts that brought about our communion, Jesus is coming into the world, but also the faith that we confess in communion. The Lord's table is not for perfect people. It's not for the righteous who can come and brag that they have fulfilled all the obligations of the Christian life. It's for sinners. For sinners who confess that they cannot save themselves. But know they need a Savior, and know that only Jesus Christ can save them from their sins. And they come confessing that their hope is in Christ and in Christ alone. They confess all the things in the Nicene Creed, not just because they're words believed by Christians down through the ages, but they are the words of those who have a living and personal faith in the triune God, God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God and Savior of sinners, the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who is worshipped and glorified along with the Father and the Son, and the one who gives us the remission of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. These are the things that we remember at the table. These are the things that Paul says we should remember every day, because this is the essence, the heart of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When we're feeling guilty, when we are tired and weary, we can confess Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When we see neighbors who are not believers, and we wonder, what can I tell them that will help them? We can tell them Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When we feel as if we just can't go another step, we don't even feel as if we know how to pray, we can remember this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And when we come to the table, we come with joy and encouragement and hope, because knowing that we're not worthy to eat even the crumbs that come from the table, we are welcomed to sit with Jesus, because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who may come? Sinners who know who Christ Jesus is and what Christ Jesus came into the world to do, and who by faith believe these things. Even if their faith is small, as long as it's real, Jesus says, come. Let's pray.